point that I think is important to make, and that is this space is changing very, very rapidly. You know, a year from now, there will be all kinds of new innovations that we haven't thought of, that probably nobody's thought of. And we may very well have to go back and revisit the rules. But what we shouldn't do is have an overly broad mandate, a reporting requirement on people who can't possibly comply. And we don't want to favor or punish any particular platform design or validation mechanism. And we certainly don't want to stifle the innovation that's happening in this space. There's still time to adopt this amendment before final passage of this bill, and I'll be urging my colleagues to join in this bipartisan effort to fix this error. And let me turn this over to Senator Lummis and thank her for her leadership in this whole space.
Thank you, Senator Toomey. I so appreciate the work that you've done on this within the Banking Committee and working with your colleagues on the Finance Committee. You have exhibited, you know, a degree of knowledge and leadership about this subject that is such a new subject to so many people in the U.S. Senate, and so I'm really grateful that you stepped in and have been so significant to this effort. It's been a long process with a lot of back and forth. Senator Wyden has also just been exceptionally involved in this. Senator Toomey, Senator Portman, Warner, and Sinema have worked really hard to try to get to the point that we are at today. I want to point out that Chairman Wyden's done a lot to protect technology innovators. And while at this point he's not signed on to this amendment, he does agree that this is a big step in the right direction to protect financial innovation. He would like us to go farther. And so I'm certainly encouraged by the fact that he sees the importance of innovation in this space and is so uniquely positioned to help all of us going forward. As Senator Toomey just said, this space is moving so fast. The innovation is occurring at such a rapid rate that we probably will have to revisit a lot of these subjects within the next 12 months. We also want to put out some legislation that sets some definitions in this space. So the fact that Treasury got a jump on us in trying to define broker in this bill has put us in a position where we're starting that work now of defining terms that are used in this space that have a significant impact on those who are innovating in this space. We can't afford to get this wrong. We need to ensure that people aren't trying to avoid taxes by sheltering their money in digital assets, but we have to do it in a way that doesn't stifle innovation. So this amendment is an effort to thread that needle for now as a compromise with Treasury, but we've got a lot more work to do to ensure that we have the appropriate regulatory and statutory sandbox so we have parameters in which this industry can innovate and understand the rules of the road, but by the same token, we are not stifling their innovation because China and other countries are way, way ahead of the United States in the digital asset space. We have to maintain our financial innovation superiority around the world. And right now in this space, the digital space, we're behind. So the last thing we want to do is further cripple when we need to advance and take over this as the world leader in financial innovation. So the Senate has the opportunity to set the stage for successful implementation of digital assets into our financial system, but I can't emphasize enough the importance of getting it right here. We have a great opportunity going forward. The silver lining behind all of this debate and discussion is that we found out who in the Senate is interested in this subject who maybe previously didn't know anything about it. In fact, I gave a book to one of my colleagues, and I ran into him in the parking lot this morning, and he said, "Hey, I'm reading your book on digital assets, so we're making progress already, Senator Toomey." And we have found people who either want to learn or, because this digital asset industry mobilized on social media to lobby in a very positive, respectful way, we finally were able to illustrate to members of the Senate that there are a lot of people that are interested in digital assets, working in some aspect of digital assets, and now have contact with their U.S. senators and can begin a dialogue with them about what they're trying to accomplish and how the U.S. Senate, how Congress can help them innovate, have appropriate regulation, but not stifle them. So in some ways, regardless of how this turns out, it's been a very positive exercise. So I want to thank the digital asset community all over this country for the manner in which they have so helpfully engaged in this dialogue. They have gone a long way to letting their senators know how important this is, that this industry is innovating, that they want to interface with the fiat economy in a way that incorporates them and allows them to interface but doesn't stifle them. So all things considered, this has been a very positive exercise for people who are in the cryptocurrency and digital asset space. I think you're going to see the interest of the U.S. Senate grow leaps and bounds as a result of this effort. As you know, Senator Sinema and I months ago had founded the Financial Innovation Caucus. And I think our membership is going to grow as a result of this, and we'll have more impetus to go forward, define, and regulate in an appropriate way that recognizes that the future is in digital assets. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? I do believe that long-term it will catch on. I believe there are so many innovators in the United States right now. Since China kicked out the Bitcoin miners, allegedly because of energy production, but we all know it's because they don't want the competition for the digital yuan. They want their currency, which is not transparent on the blockchain, but that allows them access to the information on how the digital yuan is being used. We want to make sure that if there is a digital dollar or if stable coin becomes the standard for the fiat currency world, and that the non-fiat currency world can grow and interface with the fiat currency world, that you'll have sort of the best of both worlds. It will allow the non-banked to participate in the economy, just as we've seen people in El Salvador do. And it will also allow people to use it as a store of value. So I'm optimistic. I think that there's so much energy and excitement and innovation in that space. It's almost like when the internet first started, we're seeing this exponential growth. And so I'm very excited about this space, and I think that there's a lot to commend its very positive future in the United States.
Yeah, I just want to add, I think the most exciting potential in this whole space are going to be the apps that we haven't thought of yet. But the fact that a mechanism has been invented to validate transactions without a trusted intermediary, to do it through a distributed ledger mechanism, is going to change whole industries, I think. And I think it's too powerful for even someone, if they were inclined to try to stop it, I think it's going to be too powerful to stop. and it'd be a very bad idea to try to stop.
So, yep. For both senators, if this amendment is included in the package, would you guys vote for final passage of the infrastructure bill? And also, secondly, do you have any concerns about the climate change component that cryptocurrency has?
Well, so two things. For completely unrelated reasons, I will not be supporting the underlying bill. It has nothing to do with this transaction, but for those reasons, I won't be there. You know, the impact on the climate, as you're alluding to, of course, varies enormously depending on the methodology of the validation process. And that's one of the reasons that I don't think we should be picking winners and losers. Tomorrow, we may learn about a whole new mechanism for validating transactions. And because a lot of people care a lot about the climate and the environment, that might very well manifest itself in preferences in some kinds of methodologies over others. I don't think we should be trying to make that choice in this legislation.
Senator Lummis, would you even support that underlying bill?
I also have problems with the underlying bill. It's scored in a way that it's not fully paid for. But as to the energy consumption component, the climate component. We know from a study at University of Cambridge that 40% of Bitcoin, which is, as you know, a mine-intensive process, an energy-intensive process, 40% of the energy that they use comes from wind and solar and other non-hydrocarbon-using processes. So, and that's way higher than the world average. We have in Wyoming businesses that will pull a trailer up to an oil and gas rig that is venting gas, and they'll hook onto that flume and use it to mine Bitcoin. So we're actually seeing innovations that use energy that's now being wasted. So in some ways, it's turning out to be a benefit in the long-term efficiency of our energy economy.
Yep.
This is a two-part question. Senator Wyden says he still has privacy and security concerns. How do you attempt to address those? And then secondly, does your compromise that you've reached indicate there's an amendment agreement on the overall bill, or how will you get a vote?
Okay, so Senator Wyden put out a tweet, which you may have seen, and he said, I'll just quote it because it's short. It says, "We've been working hard to get a deal. I don't believe the cryptocurrency amendment language on offer is good enough to protect privacy and security, but it's certainly better than the underlying bill. Majority Leader Schumer says he won't block a unanimous consent request on it." So we're going to make a unanimous consent request. This will be the first time on this bill that I'm aware of where we have had bipartisan Treasury support and both of the lead negotiators all on the bill. So I certainly hope that given the near universal acknowledgement that there is a problem and the fact that we have a bipartisan solution, that that enables us to get the vote that we want.
Do you believe that the ultimate goal is to maybe have the federal government create its own digital currency, just as the dollar paper currency? And secondly, if I can get your thoughts about after this bill, if it does pass, then we have a $3.5 trillion bill.
So I think the question of a U.S. dollar digital currency is another whole topic, and it's a big topic. And we're going to get a report from the Fed soon on this, and we'll get their thoughts, and we will discuss this in Congress. I do believe that the Fed should not proceed without congressional authorization. I think the chairman of the Federal Reserve has indicated that he's sympathetic to that view. But that's a big topic of conversation. As for the next bill that our Democratic colleagues are going to propose, I think, first of all, $3.5 trillion understates the full scale of that bill. It's very, very bad policy, very, very damaging to the economy, and I will vigorously oppose it.
I agree. It's very bad policy. It actually comes in, if you don't use scoring gimmicks, it comes in closer to $5 to $5.5 trillion. So I also will be vigorously opposing it.
Yeah.
Lawmakers have to disclose their cryptocurrency holdings as a part of their financial disclosures. Do you think that should be something that should be
My understanding is that is required. Lawmakers have to, every month, we have to disclose every purchase of more than $1,000, I think, irrespective of the kind of asset. If you buy it, you got to disclose it. So that's already a requirement. And we're going to have to go soon, but. I have to tell you, I'm not familiar with them. I have not had a chance to study them. I don't know if you have.
I have not either. Obviously, neither one of us intends to vote for final passage. But my understanding is there are provisions in this bill that would authorize automobile manufacturers to have mechanisms on cars that will not allow them to be driven if someone's over the limit. I don't know how that works. But this bill might pass. In fact, all indications are it will pass, so we might find out.
Last question.
Have you been able to talk to President Biden about the transformation of cryptocurrency? Because I know President Trump didn't like Trump or whatever, but you see what happened with China when they tried to doubt their crypto, the stock goes down, you saw the Bitcoin in May. Have you gotten knowledge assessed to bring them aware that
So I have not had that conversation with President Biden. I honestly don't know what his views are. But, you know, one of the great strengths that we have, it's an enormous advantage over China, is we're a country that respects the rule of law. And they're not. So we see that at the whim of the leader, they can wipe out an industry, they can do whatever they like. We don't allow that in the United States, and that's why Congress needs to step in and make sure we are guiding the administrative state to get to the right answer. Thank you very much.
Following up on that, the White House I know the White House is an issue over the past few days. They are supportive of this compromise.
This was negotiated with the Treasury Department, and so I am confident that that means the administration generally supports it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good job.
Very, very, very.